At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is a Fransky Friday. Of course, every week at this time, we have Scott Fransky. Let's go. Scott, sponsored by Scott. Morgan and Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. As the Phillies continue, last night aside, to play good baseball here under Don Mattingly. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
I'm doing better, Scott. I'm not going to lie. You know, you talked me off the ledge last week, so I'm feeling a little bit better. And I have a question, but I don't want it to feel like, because we've had a lot of ambush reporting around here the last couple of days, Scott.
We have not.
You know, like we it started with John Clark, no. And then Spike Eskin is ambushing. So I don't want to feel like I'm ambushing you. So I'm gonna go ahead and let Joe ask the first question.
Oh, you just want to?
No, because I want to. Because I like me and Scott. We're cool.
Okay.
I don't feel like I'm ambushing
right.
With the question.
You, we're cool. You can ask me whatever.
Okay, Scott. I just wanted to ask. Do you? So what's going on with Alec Boehm? Do we think that this is probably, you know, the Alec Boehm we won't see for a while anymore? Is this the end of Alec Boehm?
I don't think it's the end of Alec Boehm. But I do think that we might see him get some more days off.
Okay.
I do think he's going to have to try to work on some things, figure some things out. They're going to give him, I think... And I don't know this for sure, but I think they're going to give him opportunities here and there to do that. I think they're going to try to find some matchups that might play better for him until he can get it figured out.
Yeah.
I still think in the long run, they view him as an everyday guy. But again, you just can't do that when you're hitting 150.
Yeah.
And something has to be done. So I don't think it's the end of Alec Boehm, but I do think, you know, time is running short.
I know what you mean.
Put it mildly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because again, you can only go so long with a guy who's hitting 150.
Scott, was it telling to you, or did it stand out to you a couple nights ago during the game when he was pinch hit for? Because that was the first time, other than maybe a blowout or if there was an injury or something, that he was pinch hit out of a game. That was eye-opening to me because, you know, the way I viewed Scott is whether or not he's in the same class of these other guys as players, the last 4 or 5 years, you just know every day in the lineup, unless there's an injury or something or it's a day off, Harper's going to play, Turner's going to play, Schwarber, Real Muto, assuming he's not getting a day off, and Boehm. And he just doesn't get pinch hit out of games. That was interesting to me that it almost felt like in that moment that it kind of shifted to where he's being used more in a matchup way than just he's our third baseman way.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's a pretty strong signal, I'd say. Game on the line, you know, close game. You get pinch hit for late. I think that's – but, I mean, again, he understands the situation. Alec, you know, he's played baseball a long time. He gets it. I don't think he – you know, again, he's not going to harbor any ill will or be hurt by it. I just think, you know – it has to be done at a certain point. So you've given him a lot of rope. You've given him a lot of runway, try to figure it out. And now they're going to give him, you know, they gave him the night off last night. I don't know what will happen tonight. My guess is he probably gets another night off, but I don't know that. But that's my guess. And come back for the lefty tomorrow and try to restart then.
Scott Fransky with us here. Scott, opposite end of the spectrum right now is Bryce Harper. A pair of home runs a couple nights ago, and you look up now, almost a quarter of the way through the season, and Bryce is putting up some big numbers. The OPS back over 900, has nine home runs. The walk-to-strikeout ratio is close to even, which is, to me, always a great indication of a guy that's locked in. Scott, what are you seeing, and is it time that we start thinking about that E word with Bryce Harper again, that elite word?
The elite word. OPS over 900, I like it. Obviously, he's hitting well. I mean, he really is. He'll go through some streaks. There's no doubt about it. But I think for the most part, he's done what he set out to do in spring training, and that is sort of control the strike zone a little better, swing at strike, lay off pitches out of the zone, try not to get himself out, hit his pitch, not their pitch, that kind of thing. Those things he was talking about, I think he's pretty well achieved that. You know, I mean, his numbers are, if he keeps it up, if he continues on this trend, you have to put him back in that elite category, I think. You know, again, he said it in spring training, you know, when he came out of the World Baseball Classic, he said, I felt like if I had a couple more weeks, I felt really good about where my swing is at. I felt if I had a couple more weeks, my timing would get there. And things would be good. And that's really how it played out. So there's a guy who knows himself, right?
Yeah, no question about it. So Scott, what are you seeing from Edmundo Sosa so far at the third base spot?
Defensively, he's solid. I mean, I think he's always been he's just more comfortable at short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's adjusted, he's adapted, he's learned a position. He's a really good baseball player. And, he's a really valuable guy who, for a manager to be able to plug in at three different spots on the infield, anytime, any matchup, whatever. You know, we saw him the other night come in, you know, with that big hit late, and that was not his, you know, preferred matchup necessarily. Mm-hmm. Right on right, that's not necessarily where he would be, but he gives you a good at bat most times, and, you know, he's. Makes a few adjustments, I think, with two strikes to shorten up a little bit sometimes, and he did the other night and got the big base hit. So, solid defender at third, at second, probably a better defender at short, but, you know, there's more opportunities in those other two spots.
Scott, let's talk about Andrew Painter here, who struggled last night and has struggled for a lot of the season so far. And I think some of this is just natural, right? It's growing pains. He's first year in the major leagues and trying to figure it out. But, Scott, I'm just wondering – what you think the plan could be the rest of the season. I mean, if he turns it around, great, and that's a bonus. But if he doesn't, do you think this is just he gets all year, they let him pitch every fifth day, results, regardless of the results? Or is it going to be, it needs to be to a certain level, otherwise they have to think about what they should do for not just him, but also for the future, for this year's big league team, right? They need to win a lot of games to get out of this hole. And right now it feels like every fifth day, it's hard to think they're going to win if he pitches like this.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was far more competitive his last start.
Yep.
Last night was, you know, just bad from the very beginning, obviously. And every rookie, even some veterans, will have those days. That happens. As for what the plan is, I mean, it's kind of like we talked about with Bohm. You get to a certain point, you're like, look, we got to do something different. I don't know exactly when that time is. I think this is the staff. Whether it was Rob Thompson or Don Mattingly, the rest of the coaches, they show a lot of faith in the players. They show a lot of patience with the players. And they give the players a lot of opportunity to work things out. So I do think they work it out. They try to give them a little bit of, you know, leeway to work it out. But on the flip side, I mean, you're talking about a young player, and you don't want him just going out there and getting his brains bashed in all the time. Right? His confidence will wane. It will definitely diminish. So at a certain point, you have to be able to monitor the player and not know the person and see how it's affecting them day to day and make that judgment as an organization. Does this guy need a break? Does he need to go back to AAA and maybe reset and learn a few more things? That day might come. I don't know what the fallback would be. It might just be whoever you would consider as the hot hand next up at Lehigh to fill in the short term. Maybe it's a trade. I don't know. But same deal as with Bohm. At a certain point, you got to say, hey, let's tap the brakes, let's give them a little restart and try something different. But, you know, again, I don't want to get alarmist over one night because he was far more competitive in other starts. He has stuff to work on, very clearly. Fastball command, I think, being number one. But, you know, everybody's going to have a really bad night, and he had a really bad night last night.
He did, and it's all still small sample for Andrew Pena. Let's go to a bigger sample. Scott, I saw a stat yesterday that Brandon Marsh, over the last calendar year, I think it's either second or third best batting average in all of baseball. It's funny with him because I think we've just talked about him similar to and with Stott and Boehm the last couple of years. Right, they're all around the same age. They came around together, up together. But it feels like he's taking off at a different level that the other guys aren't. And you know, I'm looking right now, and look, WAR is a stat that people could use, and some people like it, some people don't. But he's right now the most valuable player through WAR, position player, on the Phillies so far this season. He's batting .333. Scott, how would you describe the player Marsh is right now? Because it's hard for me to say anything, but he's a really good player right now.
He is a really good player right now. And, you know, you add in defense and left. If he's playing left field, I think he gives you more value defensively there than he, say, would in center field, for instance. But I what he's done offensively, he's just committed to being a certain kind of hitter. And I think Schwarber had a lot to do with it. It's sort of that Schwarber template, right? It's using the middle of the field. It's thinking gap to gap. And he's taken off with it. Now, again, that average stat over the last calendar year, there's a lot of protected at bats in there, you know, a lot of just against, you know, righties. Now we're starting to see a few more opportunities against lefties, and he's showing he can put up a decent at bat. And I think he's going to start to get more and more opportunities as we go. It's not going to be every lefty, but there will be some where he does start, like the other night. So I do think he has sort of finally maybe grown to that next level of guy. Is he going to be a, you know, superstar player and hit 25 home runs? Probably not. But, you know, if he's a guy that's hitting, you know, 310, 320 and playing great defense in left field, I'd take it any day of the week.
Yeah, I would too. My guess is the Phillies would, and so would Don Mattingly and Dave Dombrowski. Scott, we appreciate you hopping on. We'll be listening this weekend against the Rockies as the Phillies hopefully keep pushing back towards that 500 mark. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good one, Scott.
There we go. Scott Fransky there with us on a Fransky Friday. You don't have to be afraid of the first question.
Well, no, I just didn't because I didn't want to, like, you know, we've been doing a lot of ambush reporting around here.
So you wanted me to ambush,
yeah,
Scott.
I don't want to fall into that category with the rest of these, you know. The ambush reporters around.
So you didn't want to fall into the category with John Clark and Spike Espin?
No, I didn't want to be in that category.
Gotcha. So you made me do it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Really appreciate you.
Hiding behind Joe Gillio.
Yeah, unbelievable, this guy. 215-592-949. Again, it's also not ambush. He calls us every week.
He does.
He knows we're going to ask him a question about the Phillies.
Yeah, I think he's very well prepared.
Yeah,
he's also was prepared. A very harmless question.
Yeah, you
did kind of phrase it in a way like, is Boehm going to die? Yeah.
Well, I know, and once I said it, I thought about it. I'm like, well, I meant, you know, is it
the end of him as an everyday player?
Well, I thought you were going to put him on the spot about Mattingly not knowing Boehm's name. That's where I thought.
That would have been ambush.
You know,
reporting.
I thought,
Scott, how come you didn't correct Don Mattingly when he pronounced the name wrong? That would have been an ambush.
I'm pretty sure that, like, if somebody's listening, that's been a conversation. They'll probably fix that. It'll be Alec the next time.
I can't wait to hear every Mattingly press conference.
I'm looking out for it.
Oh, I need to see. Does he say his name is Alec or Alex?
Say my name.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. A lot to react to between the Sixers. I mean, Douglas here is like okay with people selling their tickets tonight, which is just.
I'm okay with it.
It's actually outrageous.
It is.
Now, who do you think you are?
I'm just saying, businessman. It's a business decision.
No, fandom isn't a business decision.
No, I'm saying when it comes to fleecing New York fans, yes, it is.
No, but at the detriment of the Sixers. It's not like you just made off and got out of here with some money.
It's the playoffs.
The Sixers suffered.
What are you talking about?
It's pretty good. I'm just saying, man. I mean, I'm not mad at somebody make those.
I'm upset. I think I'm more upset at this now than the referees last night.
Why do I give a crap about Tim and Section 110's money?
I don't give a crap.
Tim, talking
Tim
about.
Break that bread.
That's so wonderful. For Tim, are we gonna when we cracked the mics Monday, we reacted to how much money Tim made, or are we gonna be talking about the Knicks fan sticking over the building?
You know, crap about Tim.
It's probably gonna happen. So shout out to Tim for making it, getting that windfall. You're probably gonna watch
through you, Tim.
Stay side.
Screw you,
I think you're wrong on this, I think you're not giving enough credit to the fans who aren't gonna do it again. Not again.
You don't think so?
No. Now listen.
I hope not.
I will say this:
What's that?
Tonight is 2-0, right? We'll see what happens tonight. If tonight goes bad and it's 3-0 and game four is on Mother's Day, that might be a different kind of crowd, because then people are like, wait a second. I'm not going to spend Mother's Day with the mom to go watch them get swept.
Yeah, to watch a beatdown.
I will give a little pass to Sunday if tonight goes bad.
You've had bad history with those days.
Oh, I know.
Well, so let me ask you
Mother's Day massacre 3 years ago.
Yes. You're an Eagles player. You're an Eagles player. You got a game at home at the Vet against the Giants. Sounds like a pretty heavy Giants crowd, because they sold all the tickets to New Yorkers. Mm. What are you thinking?
Okay, ask me again, Kyle, because I'm not understanding.
Because you weren't paying attention.
No, I'm saying, you said I'm an Eagles player.
You're with the Eagles. You're Hugh Douglas.
It's 2000.
It's 2000. Yeah. You got a game against Tiki Barber and the Giants.
Mm-hmm. And I'm playing.
You're at the vet. You're playing.
And I'm playing.
And the crowd is heavy New York because all these Philly fans decided they're going to make a buck.
No.
You're not answering.
What's your reaction as a player if it does?
No, that'll never happen in Philly.
That wasn't my question.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just being honest.
Wait, hold on. It wouldn't happen in Philly. You're saying it's going to happen tonight.
No, but
what are you talking about?
That's basketball. It would never happen in football.
If it did, how would you feel?
Okay, now that we've gotten there.
Never happened.
Now if it does.
Never happened.
Okay, but you're avoiding answering.
No, I'm not avoiding, Kyle, but you guys are acting like this hasn't happened before.
Hugh, I'm asking you a hypothetical, which we do all the time on the show.
That's not going to happen.
That's not
Philadelphia.
That's like
Eagles fan.
Okay.
If it happened, how would you feel?
Yeah, I'd be like, I must be dreaming. I must be asleep.
Okay. All right.
Wake up, because this can't be Philadelphia.
So you would feel some type of way as a player.
It would never happen. I'm
taking that as a checkmate, because he won't answer.
No,
the question.
I'm just saying, because that's not something that can realistically happen.
How about you answer the damn question?
I think we're missing something.
I'm getting tired of this.
That happened 2 years ago. That's why I think it's less likely to happen today. It was embarrassing two years ago.
It's happened before. That's what I'm saying.
Not quite 2 years ago in a playoff
series. It's happened before, so that's why. You know.
We all understand the proximity to New York, right? And I look, when the Phillies are bad those years, the Mets fans come down here and parade, right?
That's awful.
But that
made me mad.
Well, no, that makes me less mad. Because
you're talking about when the Knicks fans came down here.
Well, no, I guess what I'm saying is, when teams are bad, like the years the Phillies have been lean, no one's at the games anyway. It's easy to just buy the empty seats. That I get. Playoffs is a different story. And this is round two, game three, after the biggest Sixers win 5 days ago, 6 days ago, in years. It cannot be a Knicks crowd tonight. It just can't. And it's a shame on anyone if they sold their ticket. That's where I'm at.
And Hugh won't answer the question.
I'm not mad at him.
Well, I know you won't, and that's why we're mad at you.
I'm not going to be mad at you.
I get it.
I'm saying I'm not going to be mad at him.
I will.
You could be mad at him, but I'm not going to be mad at him.
Well, it would be embarrassing. Can we agree on that? Embarrassing.
It would be embarrassing.
I mean, but it's not like it hadn't happened before.
That doesn't make it any less embarrassing.
But the first time you do something embarrassing, to do it again, it's more embarrassing.
No, I mean, it gets easier when you get embarrassed.
No, it actually doesn't. It actually should. No. All right, that's enough. Let's go to Scott in Lehigh Valley. What's up, Scott?
Checkmate.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that would be embarrassing, but I see what Hugh's saying. I mean, I wouldn't be able to see it happening if it was the Phillies. I couldn't see it going that way either, because the Eagles, it's like a one and done. There's a series with basketball and baseball, so there's technically possibly a next game, but it'd be very embarrassing. But what I wanted to say is, and I'm going to probably get flack for this, Hugh said something earlier, sitting Embiid, if he's not fully ready to go because OG is out, is probably the right move.
Well, so I understand the point.
If we can get Embiid healthy for the end of the series, that's very important.
Well,
it's almost
is.
Worth taking a gamble tonight, I think.
Well, but the issue is, we're already down 0-2. So if we gamble and it goes wrong, it's 0-3. And then if he's ready for game six and there is no game six, what's the difference?
But it's almost no difference. Even if we're 2-1, we're down 2-1 with a very unhealthy Embiid, we're cooked anyway.
I think there's a massive difference.
Taking the gamble to get 2-1 with OG out, without Embiid, resting him up, and then we get back a healthier Embiid, 2-1 is the gamble, but we're in a much better shape. I don't know what his injury is. If he's, we shouldn't have him play just to pander to us, to be like, can you please just go out there and play so we know you love it?
Well, I agree with that.
So,
Scott, I think the point you're making and the point Hugh's made is interesting, especially if he's banged up. I guess, for me, and Scott, good phone call. It feels like we're operating as if there's just two doors here we could open up. We can open up door one, he sits. Door two, he plays.
It feels like that's what it is.
Well, why isn't there door three? He can't play 20 minutes? Like, again,
Joe, I hear you.
Why?
Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't he provide something, but maybe not everything? Like, do we see players on snap counts in the NFL all the time?
I hear you,
a pass rusher can only give us 15 snaps. Go get the quarterback.
And I feel like with him, it's an either or. Because hasn't it felt like that before? Like when you talk about Joel Embiid and whether or not he's going to play. Wasn't it this year where all of a sudden it was early in the season where we thought he was going to play and he just didn't play?
Well, yeah, it's happened often in his career.
Yeah, so you're asking something to happen different that is not normally happens.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
The playoffs.
Joe, I hear you.
All hands on deck.
I hear you. But it just feels like in this situation, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form blaming Joel Embiid about that. I just think this is the nature of the beast when it comes to him, is that it's an either or proposition. Since I've been here, I can't think of any time where there has been, hey, he's going to test it out to see if he could go. I don't think that's ever been.
He does that.
I don't recall that since I've been here where he's out there on the court doing what you say, warming up.
Yeah, he does a lot in the regular season.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I think it's an either or sentiment when it comes to him, when it comes to what he's dealing with right now.
Yeah, I guess for me, how do you?
I hear what you're saying because you're coming from the perspective of, you know, talking about the fans and them supporting you. Your teammates, and just trying to give it a try.
Well, how do you know you can't guard until you try? I mean, like, I think his injuries are really impacting him on the defensive side, right? Mm-hmm. Offensive side is about skill. Defensive side is about agility, movement, quickness, all that stuff, and desire. I think he can't move on defense, and the Knicks attacked him. I get all that, but how are we going to know he could give them enough until he gets out there and gives them what he has in his body?
Well, also, risking going down 0-3.
It's a big risk.
It's a joke. I mean,
yeah,
like,
I mean, I hate
a lot.
If you, because even if you go 2-1 and then lose the next game, say Embiid plays this one and then has to sit, I almost feel better about 3-1 than I do. Well, I mean,
well, that was last
that would
year's.
Be obvious. Yeah. Better about 3-1 than I do 3-0.
Yeah. Well, they just did that. I mean, they came back from 3-0.
They can win 3 in a row. They can't win. They're not going to win 4 in a row.
No. Let's go to Juice at South Philly. What's up, Juice?
What's up, Joe?
Juice, what's up?
How you been?
Good, Juice. What's up? What are you feeling?
Good. All right, so before I get to that, I just want to clarify something real quick. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when I was trying to get into the Fantasy Football League and I offered you to come play ball with us?
Mm-mm. No, wait a minute. You talking about, like, was it not this year, but last year?
I remember
last year.
Remember, and you were like, I don't really want to do that because it feels like you get, like, you know, it's gaining something out of you. Remember that whole spiel?
Not really. Go for it. What you got?
I just wanted to tell you, I seen your swing. I'm rescinding that offer.
That's fine.
I get that.
I mean, that's fine. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
Could you do us a favor and turn your radio down, though?
Yeah, hold on one second. Yeah.
It's not his radio. It's whatever. It's the Bluetooth or
whatever it is. Could you get off of that or whatever it is? Because it's a little feedback. Mm.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's not better.
All right, so Juice, what do you think about the fans tonight?
All right, so here's the deal. I understand where everybody wants to sell their tickets. We could all use the money, but it comes down to being a fan or being, I don't know, a novice, let's say. Like, for instance, I drive for Uber. If somebody gets in the car and they're a Cowboy fan, they got to go. Cancel the ride.
Don't believe that.
Like, I don't play that, right? So because I'm a fan.
That's right.
So check this out.
That,
Tyrese Maxey and BJ Edgecombe and Oubre and Paul George, those guys play their hearts out for us every game. We looked at the games a couple times and we're like, yo, we don't have a shot. Embiid's not playing. Mm-hmm. And what do? They turn around, pull it out.
Yep.
They laid an egg, and Tyrese came out and was like, yeah, we got to play better for the fans. He literally said, for the fans. And then we got fans that want to, oh, I need the money, man. I ain't going to the game. And again, I can understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, you're not a fan then. We need fans to show up, keep their tickets, and show out for the same people that show out for them.
I agree.
It's not called the Philadelphia Embiids. It's called the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, Juice. And I think
because you're mad at one player, you don't take it out on the rest of the team.
I agree. And we can't say that we as fans make a difference, right? The arena, the home court, all that makes a difference, and then voluntarily give up the difference, right? And Juice could phone call. I mean, that's just – it does. Those two things don't go together. If we make a difference, if home court makes a difference, we can't just give it up for some dollars. I mean,
I hear you, but I understand the ones that do. I'm not questioning their fans.
No, I'm calling them out.
And Juice, you said on this radio station, told a whole story. Because how as a Uber driver, do you know what a person's affiliation is?
Well, I guess if they're wearing a jersey or a cap or something.
And guess what?
If they look like a Cowboys fan, you can pick those guys out of the lineup.
If they have like a 5-star rating and they give good tips, you're going to go ahead and take that ride, man. Come on, stop it.
Juice kicked them right out of that car.
Stop it.
Nah, you're a fraud.
Juice a fraud or Hugh?
Hugh.
Stop it, man. I mean, I don't believe that, Juice.
I believe Juice.
I don't believe
I believe him wholeheartedly.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
Juice sounds
have you met
like,
Juice?
Juice sounds like
no,
the guy that would
you,
do that.
Have you met Juice?
Yes, we all met Juice.
Yes.
Where did you meet him at?
He was in our fantasy league.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot.
Oh, that, he was telling you this.
Wow, you're so locked in.
Listen.
That's,
got a lot
that's
going
Juice.
On
that's Juice. Yes.
I don't care about the fans.
Juice's son was your GM.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? Now I remember.
Okay.
I got a bad memory. I'm 54 years old. I'm getting ready to go into a retirement home.
I'm assisted living home.
Will you leave me alone? I forget stuff.
By the way, neighbor yesterday said to me, in the same week, Hugh thinks he could become a DH of the Phillies, but yet is wants to check into assisted living.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, those two things don't really. That's a really good point.
I can straddle the fence. I'm what they call an anomaly.
How many current athletes live in assisted living?
It would be me.
Zero.
It would be me.
Okay. 215-592-9494. We have a lot to talk about here. The Sixers tonight, hope or believe they're going to come back and win this series. The fan thing tonight. Hugh says he understands it if people sell the tickets. I just think it's a disgrace if we get there. Tonight's got to be a big home crowd, especially what happened 2 years ago. Can't have it happen again. And the Flyers, reaction to last night. I thought the refs were disgraceful last night. A terrible night for them. And I thought it was a turning point of the game and probably the end of the series, what happened there late in the second period. All your phone calls, the Painter stuff as well. Plus, we got a couple of Eagles things to react to here. Some AJ audio, Hugh will hold the line, and something about Jalen Hurts. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I'm Mark Solinger, producer and one of the hosts of the Moth Podcast. For nearly 2 decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You're still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still.
One week ago, Jordan Matthews on this show told you to hold it all you want.
Hold on, did you hear that? He's still holding the line. He's like,
who's Jordan Matthews?
Who's Jordan Matthews?
No, I'm just saying.
What's that?
Invoking his name like I'm supposed
to
remember.
We just had him on last week, the Eagles wide receiver, a week ago.
No, I'm just kidding. Man.
That was pretty crazy.
I was.
Did you catch that though? You're like, you still holding the line? He's like, yeah.
We might have to isolate that audio.
He's done holding the line.
What?
I'm not.
Never gonna give up. Never give up. Never surrender. And ain't gonna damn sure ain't about to apologize.
Okay. How about this? You surrender right now, and we'll forget everything that ever happened.
Mm-mm.
We'll forget it ever happened.
No, you know what? We already gave him his chances. He's drowning in this.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
Mm-mm. We're gonna make you walk the plank then.
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. You want a little hold the line update on AJ Brown?
I mean, if you want to,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I got the same update you got because I want to thank all the people who want to let me know what's going on with this whole.
Well, we can start with the kids. So AJ
Brown.
Yeah,
we definitely start with
a lot of people send this to us.
The kids know what's going on more than you do.
Good parenting by the kids.
Well,
they
understand to stop holding the line.
They're not holding the line.
This was at AJ Brown's camp last week, which again, we gave him credit for it to still hold it in the area, and that's great on him. But listen, the best thing when you're with a kid is, especially a certain age, right? And these kids seem like they were between, I don't know, 7 and 11, maybe, just when I looked at the video.
Yeah.
They're going to give you what they honestly think, right?
No, like they're brutally honest.
Brutally honest. Like Harper, right? You're telling us that Harper was saying you're going to come watch me swing. You're trash,
well,
right?
He called me trash. Yeah. And I wanted to say something to him, but it was,
So I have a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old. You have a 7-year-old. They are brutally honest. So these kids at AJ's camp around that age, brutally honest. They're going to tell you what they think or ask you questions based on what's in their head. And here is AJ huddling up with the kids on Saturday, and one of them wanted to ask him a question. Listen to this.
And somebody said, no, it's inappropriate.
Well, but the question was fair and obvious. I mean, are you trying to go to the Patriots?
Yeah, it was fair.
Yeah, that kid's reading between the lines.
Yeah, he has a little bit of vision.
A lot of vision.
Yeah,
he sees it.
Way more vision than you.
Good job, kid, not holding the line. All right, second one is, so a couple days ago, we played the clip of Adam Schefter saying that this is probably going to be a 2028 first-round pick, A.J., to the Patriots. But the Eagles could have to give something back with A.J. to kind of even it out so the Patriots aren't getting, giving a one for A.J.
Mm-hmm.
So up in Boston, Tom Curran, who's covered the Patriots for a long time, he was doing his podcast, and they were talking about Schefter's report and then start to speculate on what the sweetener could be, like what the Eagles could give with A.J. to get the one. Here was that.
It's at this point just a foregone conclusion from what I understand. Eagles and the Patriots will, and I'm parenthetically adding this, get together on A.J. Brown. The only question is, what's the compensation? I think from what I've heard, this is a future first rounder, but there could be something in return that would set it up so that it's not as much for the New England Patriots to give.
Right. And so that's where I find the Schefter part of the report interesting, because I think people hear it would involve a 2028 first round pick. That doesn't mean
A.J. Brown in the fifth?
A.J. Brown straight up for a first-round pick. It means something else. So that, to me, whatever would be coming back, if it is a first-round pick in 2028 that goes, whatever comes back to me is significant. Because if it's a fifth or a sixth, it's like, who cares? What's the point? But if it's a third mm-hmm. or a second, okay, now that makes a lot more sense to me.
All right, so they're unpacking what the Patriots could ask back along with A.J. from the Eagles to get the one. So let's start here. I agree with that, whoever that other guy is. If it's a fifth or a sixth, I'm not going to lose any sleep over that, right? That's just like, okay, make everyone feel better. You could have a six, give me the one.
Yeah.
But the other part of what he was saying is if it's a two or a three, Hugh Douglas, your reaction if the trade, when it comes down, is A.J. and a day two pick, right? Because day two is the second and third round. Mm-hmm. AJ and a day two pick to get the one. What would your reaction be to that?
I won.
No.
I won.
No.
Because.
No.
I just won't allow that.
No, I'm saying that would mean I won.
No.
Because that means.
That's not a win for you.
It is a win.
No, you explicitly said AJ was going to be an Eagle. It's anything otherwise is a loss.
But
I'm saying,
I won.
Now, the loss might be for Howie. If we're talking about else.
He wanted. Throughout this whole process, Howie said that he wanted a one, number one, uh-huh. for AJ.
Yep.
So if he doesn't get that, that's an L for Howie.
You know what I'm hearing?
What's that?
An L for Howie is a win for Hugh.
Well, he's anti-Howie.
He's anti-Howie.
And we've known this for a while.
Yes, you are.
I am not
anti-Howie. You're more of a Howie doubter than a Howie lover.
Man, listen, I got a lot of love for Howie. But
we know this.
Listen, in this situation, looks like I'm going to take an L. I mean, I'll concede that. I'm about to take L, but I'm going to hold the line until that actually happens.
So I am
salvaging something from this.
Can we assess how much you're holding the line? You want to hear how the segment started, Hugh? This is how strongly Hugh's holding the line right now.
Oh, you're cooked, man. You're so cooked.
Hey. Listen, I read the tea leaves too, but I'm here. I'm still here on this island.
That was of all the audio we played from Schefter, everybody. That's the most damning piece of audio of the whole thing.
We may have to put together like a montage when this thing is whole.
We
all
need
over
a montage,
and it ends with this.
A hold the line montage would be hilarious.
We like, need a montage.
15 minutes of Hugh holding the line. It's like, yeah, Jordan Matthews bodying you.
Or I'll tell you how it changes. Like, it was real strong a couple weeks ago. I'm still here, though. So, you know, I'm holding out faith. Yeah, so yeah, I'm still holding on. Hold the line.
Do you think fans are going to be okay if they have to give a third back?
Nope.
I mean, it cuts down like the that. Pick that they're getting.
It would be an L.
What it tells me is that the Eagles did whatever it took to get AJ out of here.
Basically. Yeah, because that's what it kind of feels like. The one that really, I ain't going to lie to y'all since we're here. The one that hit home for me is the one that I sent you a few weeks ago, the gold member one. When there's like, everybody leave. No, you don't leave. You don't leave. And then everybody looked like, this is really awkward. No, this is awkward. And it even got more awkward. When, you know, you had John Clark and Spike Eskin.
No, that had nothing to do with
doing
this.
The ambush reporting.
They have no impact on
everybody
this.
Everybody was like, dog, yeah. No. You know, because they're in the locker room. They're like, yeah, I'm going to miss him.
Because they know he's gone. No,
when Jordan Mailata held the line, was like, yeah, you know, that's merely messed up. Then he said, yeah.
I'm going to miss him.
And I was like, damn. That hurt. But I'm foolish. And I'm stubborn.
We know.
And this is where I'll be. Yeah. Then this is where I'll be. Because I know no other way. Here. I don't care about the fans. I know no other way.
If the trade has to be AJ and a three to get a one, like I still would do it. I'm not gonna back out of this if I'm Howie.
No, because at this point you kinda have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but it's not a great look. I mean
it's not.
And let's just be real, that means he wasn't worth a one on the market or to the Patriots.
Yeah, and it's funny
it's
because
down.
it's one of those things where there's a lot that's with this story. That's why I feel like it's a sliver of hope, but not that much.
No, it's not.
Well, because of there are some rumors, and I don't know, you know, people are trying to say that there's some type of collusion, but nobody has done a great job of connecting the dots.
Well, the collusion is AJ and Vrabel. Vrabel is the collusion.
We've reached the last line of defense in copium, and that is the Vrabel will step down because there'll be some sort of findings.
And, you know, like the hurting of draft picks and things of that nature.
I got news for everybody. If that happens, you know what AJ does? Opens up the amount of teams he wants to go to.
He's still not playing
for
the Eagles.
And they get him out
of here.
Yeah, he's gone. That's probably, yeah. Everyone needs to drop
They've it. Replaced him five times already. I mean, they've drafted receivers, tight ends, signed people.
The Vrabel stepping down thing is the very last sliver of people being like, please.
Yeah, but it still doesn't mean he's going to be here. All right, so we'll keep an eye out, but it sounds like we may have to give something back to the Patriots to get the first round pick. So that's that. All right, we'll get to the Jalen Hurts thing in a minute. Let's go back to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Obviously, a lot to talk about as Hugh continues to hold lines. And think it's acceptable for fans to sell their tickets tonight, which is ridiculous. Brian is a Delco up on WIP. Hey, Brian.
All right, first of all, let that line go, Hugh. It's done. It's over. Yeah. It's gone.
Listen to Brian.
Brian,
he gets it.
With all due respect, I don't know what you just heard about me saying that I was stubborn. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here. I'm here. I think his phone got messed up.
Yeah, I think it was kind of funny.
He
kept saying hello as you were trying to make a point. Hello.
Yeah, Brian, if you're listening,
that's
Brian, I'm here.
And
here I will stay.
Call me back.
Okay.
I want you to come after Hugh.
That's what we're all doing. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield, who's going to do just that. What's up, Terrence?
Hugh, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
Hugh, man, I love you, Hugh.
But here we go,
bud.
We cannot sell our tickets, Hugh. We listen, I'm not saying we're going to win the series, guys, but
we are going to win the series.
This could play, if we come in, we can win a couple games. Now, for Embiid to tell everybody not to sell his tickets, and he's not going to play, that's not looking good on his part. Like, you can't tell nobody, guys, don't sell your tickets, I got you, and then you don't end up playing in the game. Because we never saw him get hurt. When did he hurt his ankle? When did he sprain his ankle? Or when did he hurt his hip or whatever that injury was? We didn't see this. So for Embiid to say this, I'm thinking, guys, that it's a massive problem with the Knicks. That's what I'm thinking. And I feel like Embiid might be a little frustrated going against the Knicks because they're making him work on both ends as what we should be doing to Brunson.
Yeah, so Terrence, I agree. I agree with you on that. It is not a good matchup. They put him in that pick and roll,
not
and
a matchup.
Yeah, and unlike the Celtics, I mean, the Knicks shoot threes, but they also go to the basket, especially Brunson. So it's a challenging matchup for Embiid. I feel that. I mean, and you know what they're going to do if he plays tonight? They're going to test his ankle and put him in a pick and roll the whole game.
Yeah, they're going to move. They're going to move big man. They're going to have him moving all around that court. And to me, guys, like, this is a crucial game right here, because if we lose this game, you might as well say the series is a wrap. You might as well say Mother's Day is just a recreational game, because we're cooked, we're done. I hate to say it, but with OG Anunoby, guys, if he's out, we have a shot, because I feel like he's the most important player to the Knicks right now. He's their best player. He's been playing the best basketball for the Knicks. So if he's out of this game, that's a big. That's big for us and our chances of winning this game now and swinging some momentum our way going to the series. But we cannot sell them tickets to this playoff game. I could say a regular season game, don't sell them. Mm-hmm. But a playoff game, you got to come to that game with that energy, man. You got to give these guys the energy. They fought all year. Edgecombe, Maxey got to step his game up. But Edgecombe, man, my rookie of the year, Edgecombe. We gotta give these guys some energy and not let, because if they over flooded with I hate Knicks fans, I hate the New York fans. If they come there with their overly hyped fans and overly confident fans, they're gonna have the whole arena just in a disarray. Here, it's gonna be disarray.
And Terrence, I'm not rooting. Like, don't get what I said wrong. I'm not rooting for them to do this, but if it happens, I'm not mad at anybody for doing it. You know what I mean? Because it's a windfall.
You get that paper.
Well, yeah, it's that, and it's also, there's a lot of fans here that they have fatigue when it comes to dealing with this every year. So that's the biggest thing. Yeah. It's like for playoff now, fatigue, if you will. So I mean, I get
on that point, Hugh. I agree with you, Hugh. I agree with you, because I feel like when Embiid came out with that injury, it was like, here we go again. The Sixers get on as high, and then we're right back down to earth with this Embiid news right here. So I agree with you on that part, Hugh.
Yeah, and I can't be mad at anybody, because the one thing we've heard over the last couple of years, trust the process.
Well, it's been a decade.
Yeah, and some people, they'll come back. You know how, like, say if you, like I said, an analogy, you're in a relationship and the person keeps hurting your feelings, and then they tell you one more time that it's not going to be like that. It's going to be different this time, I promise you. And for a while, they do all the things that they say they're going to do. And then all of a sudden, the same thing happens again. That's tough.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of that's where I'm coming from. I mean, listen, no disrespect to the diehards, anything like that. But if you decided in this moment to get that windfall with the Knicks fans that are coming down, I'm not mad at you for that.
So I understand your point. And it's okay to have fatigue. I have that with them, right? I mean, I think we all do to an extent. But you could sit this out. You don't have to actively help the Knicks get a home. Because by selling your ticket tonight, forget that you don't want to go, or you're actively helping the Knicks. It's one thing to sit out and say, I'm just going to watch from home. I'm not, like, you, at some point, you got these tickets, right? Like, you wanted to go, or someone gave them to you, or whatever. However you got them. To sell them to someone, you're hurting the team.
You know, why are you still got season tickets if you're getting all this fatigue? Like, just... Doesn't make any sense.
And it's Mother's Day weekend, what? And you like, you might want to get your significant other nice little tennis bracelet.
Well, this is why I would say you got to plan ahead. Okay, you should have the Mother's Day gift all wrapped up already.
Hold on,
it's Friday.
We're strapped for cash. Why are you buying season tickets?
I mean, but
like
if,
what
but
you're
somebody,
saying doesn't make any sense.
But no, it is, because if you got New York fans coming down here, and if I got tickets and they're willing to pay double what they're worth, then I'm gonna go ahead and take that bread or triple. For that
I know you are.
Yeah.
I'm talking
about that paper.
Yeah, but you're a bad fan if you do that.
You are. I am not
a bad fan.
Because Hugh is
a bad fan. I am. Why would they call it? They call it entrepreneur.
No, but entrepreneur. Right. But when I think of people,
that's an entrepreneurial spirit.
When I'm thinking of people in the building tonight, I'm not thinking of 18,000 entrepreneurs. I'm thinking about Sixers fans, basketball fans who want the Sixers to win the game.
I want them to win too, Joe. But I'm just being realistic about the situation. Somebody
go be an entrepreneur Monday through Friday. When they tip the game off, you're a Sixers fan.
Somebody said
entrepreneur.
Put it like this, folks: if somebody said the tickets, I'm not mad at you. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm mad at you for not being mad at them. All right,
I'm not mad at.
Can we hear? So we played the audio there with AJ Brown stuff. We also have something about Jalen Hurts. This was kind of interesting. Jeff McClain on his pod. So, you know, a lot of this offseason has felt like, where the Eagles whoever it is, have put his stuff out to kind of explain what's going on with Jalen Hurts, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't really heard much of the other side. Jalen is typically quiet, or those around him who might kind of understand how he thinks are quiet. So let's hear from that side, because it sounds like Jeff McClain has heard from the other side, the Hurts side of the ledger.
Okay.
About maybe what happened last year. Let's hear.
He has every reason to be excited about this offense. I think it's going to, in some ways, play to some of his strengths. It's going to actually not require him to run as much if that's not what he wants to do, because it is built around the ground game and that the wide zone blocking scheme and the outside zone runs. I think it can be explosive on the ground. And I think more than anything, just, you know, getting somebody in here to run it who is a bright mind and kind of getting away from what Nick Sirianni has kind of installed here offensively and what we saw last year, which was just a bad scheme. Jalen Hurts knew it was a bad scheme. And look, you probably shouldn't allow it to affect you the way maybe it did, but he knew it was a crap scheme. And I don't want to, you know, at this point, Kevin Petula is gone, but he just wasn't quite ready to everything that was involved in running this scheme. Just wasn't quite ready to step into that role.
It was hard not to laugh when he said he knew it was a crap scheme. Here are your thoughts on Jalen knowing the scheme was, quote, crap last year.
Man, that's a lot. And it's funny that Jeff's the one reporting it, because, like, and I get why you said what you said.
He's hearing now from the other side.
Yeah. This is the PR game that's being played right now, Joe. I believe that, you know, for Jalen's sake and his team's sake, that you have to embrace this offense. And I think it's smart to say it the way that you're saying it. Now you just got to go out there and do it. Because to be fair, it didn't feel like, if that's how you felt, it didn't feel like that last year. It didn't feel like, you know, you felt that way last year. But going into this new season, knowing what you've heard and how the story has been spun, you would be smart to embrace this.
So the couple things I thought of there. Well, one caught my attention is when Jeff was speaking on Jalen having to run even less in this new offense.
He didn't want to run last year anyway.
Well, yeah, I don't love that idea. I think it's an asset of his game, and I want him to run. I think his legs should be a part of the offense. Now, how much? That's on all them to decide, but I don't think less running is a good idea. I think he needs his legs to win. So that's that. The other part, though, is so I don't think any of us thought Petula was good, right? It was a matter of how much was his fault versus how much was the player's fault. But what I'm wondering there, Hugh, is are we missing the actual story? Did Jalen miss the actual story? Perhaps some of the reason the scheme was crap is Jalen didn't want to do some of the things.
Or he didn't believe in it.
Right. So, like, if you're...
It makes it a little tougher when it's like that.
Right. If let's hypothetical. If the quarterback doesn't want to use the middle of the field, well, then the only routes I could scheme are on the outside. It cuts down the full playbook. So, was it crap? Yeah. I think we all saw it was crap. But why was it crap? Is that because...
Because it was limited in what you could do.
And was that Petullo's idea, or was the quarterback and the offense basically saying, this is what we will do. You call the plays we like. I don't know.
And then, on top of that, say for instance, if you believe that, then as a fan, if you're being like... And this is not a shot at Jalen. Let me be clear with I'm saying that, because I don't feel like dealing with y'all today because it's Mother's Day weekend. But
what does that have to do with you?
No, I'm just saying, because you know how people...
Yeah, you're not
feelings.
A mother, actually. Actually,
no,
if there's
saying,
a weekend...
I just want to deal with
Father's Day weekend.
Day.
We can kind of take that Friday off.
But what I'm saying is... when you say certain things and people don't receive it, they tend to, you know, I don't feel like dealing with that this weekend.
Not on Mother's Day weekend, no.
That's too bad.
But what I'm trying to say is this.
Give a choice.
When you think about the comparing and contrasting of I can't think of his name. Kellen Moore was here.
Yeah.
How he ran his offenses before he got here, and he was more of a passing, you know, coach or offense coordinator.
Yeah, then he threw more
then
here.
He, got
he,
here,
run, he ran
and
more
I
here,
understand
yeah.
he ran more here, and then you look at what he's running now. You could kind of use that as a measuring stick of what potentially it might be. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I think it's smart for Jalen to embrace this new offense, because it's been clear by some of the reporting over the last couple of months that they feel some type of way about the way that he's been, you know, in the organization or whatever. So, I mean, it's a smart thing to do. Come out and say you're going to embrace the offense and you're going to do everything within your power to try to make it work.
There are a lot of things in Philadelphia sports right now that are going to be fascinating over the next 6 months. Nothing close to the Eagles offense. To me, it's the most fascinating thing that hopefully in Philadelphia in the next 6 to 8 months.
We're going to try to answer a whole lot of questions in the next couple of months about what it was. And you know what the funny thing about it is? We're going to do it with a coordinator who was less qualified, in a sense, than the last coordinator we had.
And every snap is going to be a referendum on the quarterback's future.
Yes.
It just is. Every game, every snap, every result is going to be, do we want to keep him, do we not want to keep him? That's the Eagles have set that up, and here we go. All right, 215-592-949. We've got a lot to get to. We also have a call we're going to get to in the next segment. Someone says they turned down $2,000 for their ticket tonight, so we'll get that call up here about the idea of these tickets.
It's a real fan. Take notes, Douglas.
That guy's a fan. Yeah, that guy cares about the Sixers. I know that. All right, your phone call is coming up here. All this on the table. Also, we got to get to this. The Sixers took an L last night without even playing. We all saw it coming. I wonder if Daryl Morey did. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.